restrain Chinese actions abroad. Chinese leaders will always give priority to security at home over priorities abroad. Xi Jinping has said as much many times. That view should inform the analysis of China hawks in Washington. I'm Mel Gertov for The Global Citizen. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Tuesday, August 22nd, 2023. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news stories and tips at 971-245-2158. Our remote production team for tonight's newscast includes Mel Gertov. The producer is Althea Billings, and our engineer is Otto. Special thanks to Antonia Gonzalez, Edwin J. Vieira, Suzanne Potter, and Mike Moen. The director of Evening News is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Eric Leuschner. All of our KBOO programs, including the Evening News, are supported by our members. If you would like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to the number 44321. Stay tuned now for Totality of Circumstances.
Thank you for listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is Totality of Circumstances. My name is Sam, and we are taking a late summer break, me and my co-host Jasmine. So we will be replaying our June show, which aired on June 27th, and which covered the initial frosty reaction that the City Council gave to the work of the Police Accountability Commission when they last met with them in May. And they have since met with City Council again to present their second quarter report, and it was a bit of a slightly friendlier meeting this month. And at the end of August, the Police Accountability Commission will be presenting its finalized plan to the City Council, which will then have 60 days to make revisions and suggestions before sending it along to the Department of Justice for approval. So without further ado, here is our June 27th show. And Jasmine and I will be back in full force on September 26th, the fourth Tuesday of the month, at 5:30 p.m., right after the KBOO Evening News. Thank you for listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is Totality of Circumstances, a monthly segment that's focused on police oversight of all kinds in Portland. My name is Sam, and my co-host Jasmine also contributed to this show, but is out of town at the moment. For the last many months, Jasmine and I have been mostly focusing on the ongoing work of the Portland Police Accountability Commission, which you will also hear referred to in this show as the PAC, or the PAC. The Police Accountability Commission is an all-volunteer, all-civilian body that is tasked with creating a new police accountability system in Portland. This work was mandated and put into the city charter when 82% of voters approved Measure 26217 back in the heat of 2020. You can check out our show page on kboo.fm for some of our past coverage of the PAC's previous phases of work, which includes interviews with the various co-chairs at each stage, and you can also find all of their meetings and documents and draft proposals at portland.gov/policeaccountability, all of which is a nice way of saying that I am not going to give you a full overview of the PAC's work up to this point. Okay, that's enough, I know. We get it. It's very dry. Suffice to say, the PAC is now in its fifth phase of work, focusing on the transition plan between the current and future oversight systems. In the previous phase, the PAC came up with the structure of the planned Civilian Oversight Board, as well as the city agency that will support its work, and then other details too. The PAC now has a concrete plan for what this system will look like. The biggest hurdle now looming before the PAC is the August 31st deadline to present their full plan to City Council. The deadline was originally up in June, but the PAC was able to get it extended back in March, and has been holding twice-weekly public meetings in an effort to complete their work in time. But now that their plan has flesh and bones, and the powers that be can visualize it and see its true scope and reach, the pushback has begun. Ever since the PAC's most consistent champion, Joanne Hardesty, was defeated by current Commissioner Rene Gonzalez in last year's election, the question of whether council will support the PAC's proposal has become more and more prominent. Back in February, before the deadline extension was approved and before the PAC had started presenting its work in progress to council, PAC member Ajay Amici seemed confident that they would have council support for a number of reasons. She references a ruling by federal judge Michael Simon that the city must have a new plan by October, or they'll be out of compliance with the city's settlement agreement with the Department of Justice over police brutality.
If city council doesn't vote for what we create, then they will be out of compliance, you know, with this DOJ agreement. And either they're going to have to create something themselves, or which was, you know, I mean, do they really want to go through the process that we've been going through this whole time? Doubtful. So the options are to, you know, take what we create, which, you know, by my account, I think will be as foolproof as possible, pretty open and shut, or they make something better and show the DOJ that somehow what they created in, you know, a span of, I don't know how long, maybe in a few weeks or a few months, you know, what they create is going to be better or equal to us. It seems like unlikely, given the amount of time and the amount of research. And I mean, we're working 2 to 3 days a week for like 2.5 hour, like 3 hour meetings. And, you know, a dozen commissioners going through pages and pages and pages of documents. So it's hard to see how they would do something better.
That was PAC member and then co-chair Ajay Amici speaking on this show in February. Despite that guardedly optimistic assessment, the PAC's few public interactions with City Council since then have added some discordant notes to their music. On April 13th, the PAC had a hearing with Commissioner Rene Gonzalez, and while Gonzalez has been publicly supportive and measured in his comments about the PAC, he has stopped short of saying that he would fully support their proposal. His presence alone is a troubling sign for the fate and integrity of the PAC's work, especially since his election has been seen as a referendum on the policies of former Commissioner Joanne Hardesty, who, as I said, was a full-throated supporter of the PAC's mandate from day one, including championing the 2020 measure itself that created the mandate. Okay, so some quick housekeeping. This is a monthly show, and thus we can easily miss a lot of details and development that happens between the fourth Tuesdays of every month. And this month we missed even more, since Jasmine and I were out of town for most of the end of May, and we spent most of that month's show taking a detour from the Police Accountability Commission to take a look at the city's new body camera policy. So we missed some important meetings that the PAC had with City Council, which I'm going to focus on in this show. And so the PAC appeared before City Council on May 17th to present its quarterly report for January through March, and then they appeared before Council again on May 23rd for a work session where they presented the more recent and fully formed ideas for the new system. At the May 17th meeting, we got to see for the first time the full Council reacting to a mostly complete proposal for a new community-led police oversight, misconduct investigation, and discipline system, which would replace multiple current structures, policies, boards, and jobs. And aside from Q&A sessions with each commissioner, most of which were last year, and the vote on the time extension in March, bear in mind that the City Council has, at least publicly, paid very little attention to the PAC's work until now. Probably the most intense response to the quarterly report came from Mayor Ted Wheeler.
My concern is this, and I understand the public has spoken. More than 8 out of 10 voters in our city said this is what they wanted, and for better or worse, this is what they're going to get. My question is around legitimacy. When it comes to police oversight, we have seen specific examples where police oversight boards have exploded in spectacular style due to a loss of legitimacy. My concern is that if this is not seen as a balanced, fair approach to oversight and accountability, it will quickly be seen by the public and by our employees as an illegitimate process. And then we'll have a major mess on our hands that we will have to sort out. I want to acknowledge the hard work you've done. I think you've all put more than your fair share of work into this, and I know you've taken it seriously, and I know you understand the issues, and I really applaud the efforts you've put into this. But I cannot underscore enough how, as you get into the implementation phase, the public will be looking for the legitimacy of this process, and they will be looking to see who's running it, who's making the decisions. You just said today that the police are structurally excluded from decision-making or input in this model. And I assume you think that's a good thing. I would actually say that's a cautionary red flag, in my opinion. Because any process of jurisprudence always includes more than one perspective.
That was Mayor Ted Wheeler at the Morning City Council on May 17th, responding to a presentation by the Police Accountability Commission, or PAC, about their work in the first quarter of this year. As pointed out by PAC project manager Samir Kanal, a number of Wheeler's concerns are not things the PAC could change, even if they wanted to.
It wasn't the PAC that actually decided that it would be community members exclusively making the determinations. That's in the charter language and resolution 37548. The decision placed before the commission was to determine whether the full board or a subset thereof would make the decisions on findings. And the charter says that the board members cannot include police. So that was the options given to the commission. Similarly, there are restrictions in the charter about who can be on a member of the board, one of which is that police, current police, former police, and the family members of current police are not eligible for service. That is in the charter text.
Again, that was PAC project manager Samir Kanal. And here's Wheeler again stating the theme of much of the city council's pushback.
But I just want to caution you, when more than 8 out of 10 people say they want something in an election, we have examples that when people see what is actually being implemented, they might change their mind if they don't see this as a legitimate process. So this is not personal. I know each and every one of you have put a lot of time, energy, and effort, blood, sweat, and tears into this, and I really respect you and appreciate you for it. But I also don't want 2 years from now somebody saying, how could you guys not have seen this mess coming if it goes the way I think it could go if we're not diligent?
Kanal also responded to some of Wheeler's concerns about legitimacy.
In the officer accountability document, there are places where the commission's language talks about an equal level of support. Each officer has an equal number of support people to complain it through the process, and there's a lot of places where there's mirroring language like that.
PAC member Catherine McDowell later had this exchange with City Commissioner Dan Ryan, during which she also responded to some of Wheeler's worries.
My question would be how we all, I think we'd all agree they're stakeholders, police and their families, and I heard that from you, Samir. So how are we going about keeping that point of view active in this development as we build this, even though we voted on something that says it can't be on it? But would you agree they're stakeholders?
Absolutely. Okay. And we have conferred with them and look forward to conferring with them further. When the mayor was talking about legitimacy and concerns about specific aspects of our work, what was in my mind is something that Commissioner Gonzalez said to us when we chatted with him, I think it was last month, around fidelity to the measure. And so we're trying to balance all this. I mean, the measure says what it says about really wanting a clearly independent board and setting aside a certain budget amount. We have really, in our work, we're really looking at those as givens. We don't have the discretion to rewrite this measure. Its terms dictate independence from the police bureau, and its terms dictate a certain level of funding. So within those parameters, we're going to bring you recommendations that seek to implement those as well as we can.
Again, we are taking a look at the City Council's reaction to the work of the Police Accountability Commission at the Council's May 17th meeting. And that was PAC member Catherine McDowell speaking just then. City Commissioner Rene Gonzalez was less pointed than Mayor Wheeler in his criticism, but he doubled down on Wheeler's concern about changing voter attitudes. And he elaborated on his concept of fidelity to the measure that McDowell was just talking about.
We are dealt a hand where we are implementing a number of ballot measures, referendums, and like as a city right now. Charter reform, PAC. We also are dealing with the impacts of a number of other ballot measures that have long shadows, whether you're talking metro taxes, county taxes. And I guess the question for us is, how do we assure fidelity to what voters approved? As elected officials, when we see unintended consequences of what was approved, when we recognize that what was adopted in 2020 by voters is a very different city and frankly a very different voting base as exists in 2023, how do we adjust and assure fidelity, and how do we adjust and respect the, you know, the legal structure in which we're operating? And so that is an open-ended, somewhat abstract question, but we deal with this every single day right now, and are trying to respond to some of the crisis we see on our streets in 2023 while we're dealing with the shadows of 2020 in many, many respects.
That was City Commissioner Rene Gonzalez speaking to the Police Accountability Commission on May 17th. Remarks like his and Mayor Wheeler's lay the groundwork for ways that the council could potentially undermine the substance and even the letter of the 2020 ballot measure, which again was approved by 82% of voters, and as Commissioner McDowell said, gives the PAC clear guidelines about the system it is supposed to create. Commissioner Mingus Mapps probably spoke the most directly about needing to somehow change the substance of the new charter language itself, namely the part about the new oversight system's budget. The 2020 measure pegged the oversight budget to no less than 5% of the police bureau's budget, which project manager Samir Kanal said could theoretically cover up to 56 full-time employees in the agency that will support the civilian board. MAPS has a track record of opposing and sometimes blocking the work of civilian-led commissions, namely the Charter Review Commission. And he was open in his dislike for the lack of leeway that the charter gives to city council in setting the oversight budget.
To due diligence, I feel as a representative of the people, at least a guy who is trying to manage the public interest really well, I need to let my constituents know that this law that you pass, especially on the budget side, raises a lot of concerns, and I think might actually be part of the discussion that we need to have as we move towards implementation. Yeah. It's not how we do anything else. I'm also keenly aware that the city of Portland is going to be under extraordinary financial pressures in the coming years. 50 employees is a lot, you know, extraordinarily large compared to where we have been historically. It seems to be independent of the amount of actual misconduct or even just business the police do. This piece causes me a lot of concerns. And I know the commission has no, you were handed the mandate that you were handed, and the voters passed this by a lot. But I think I'm probably speaking to my colleagues here where I think that we should have some discussion around that.
That was City Commissioner Mingus Mapps. It was not lost on the Police Accountability Commission that the City Council expressed trepidation and some hostility about the very substance of what they had been tasked to do. Including what we just heard, the Council pushed back on the ban on police participation, the guaranteed budget, the new board's subpoena power, and the lack of guaranteed support from rank-and-file cops and their union. Wheeler even raised the specter of full repeal of the new system.
Well, there's a self-corrective mechanism here, too, which is if what ultimately gets rolled out doesn't work or doesn't comport with what people believe they supported, it will be repealed. I mean, there's nothing the city is more concerned about right now than public safety. Homelessness is obviously our biggest social challenge, but public safety is front and center right now. And if people feel that we are messing with public safety or we are in any way weakening it or making it less effective, they will react. And so for me, this is a really important project that you're working on. It has to be executed perfectly.
As I said, the implications of all this reaction from City Council were not lost on the members of the Police Accountability Commission. I have not listened to every single one of their meetings, but as far as I can tell, their only public discussion of it came during one of their periodic equity trainings, which occurred during their June 1st full commission meeting, and during a discussion about the trauma that lives in communities due to being part of a system based on domination and race-based division. The training's facilitator, Dr. Christine Moses, prompted the PAC members to share their experiences.
I think we've all had experiences around the individual level of racism and really wanting us to understand the systems level and institutional level and how you all have been working toward busting that up. How hard it is to call it out, to acknowledge it, to see it for what it is, and then how decisions get made at a systems level that keep the dominant culture in place. What have been your feelings throughout this process?
Several commissioners based their responses to this on the reaction that they got from City Council 2 weeks earlier. Here's PAC member Monica Arce.
To get to a certain point and get the pushback that City Council gave then to us just 2 weeks ago, and the typical responses of fear and this has not been done and like we can't do something like that, and this is, you know, all of that response is it's just that system trying to fight back and push back against a change that we're trying to accomplish within their system. And like the status quo is so strong and so powerful and is so hard to tear down. It's just insane. So frustrating.
And then PAC member Catherine McDowell, who we heard from earlier in front of City Council, had this to say, looking ahead to the future of the PAC's efforts.
I guess I also feel like we collectively need to brace for more. You know, it feels like as this has gotten more real and the possibilities of change have become, even incremental change, which is all we're doing here, have become, you know, more visible, more tangible, and more immediate, you know, that has engendered really, in some ways, feedback that, I mean, I knew there would be pushback, but to get it from the people who appointed us, the people who charged us, the people who helped draft the measure we're trying to implement is pretty disappointing.
Lastly, Commissioner Ajay Ameche, who we heard from at the beginning of the episode, put things in a wider context.
I brought this up before, the concept of white lash, and how after every racial justice movement, there's this sense, there's like a hangover that the status quo, people that, you know, occupy the status quo get, where they're like, wait, hold on, you know, I wanted to change, but I didn't think it would affect me, you know? Yeah, after every single racial justice movement, there's always, you know, this segment of a large segment of those in the status quo, especially those with power, that react. And so they might have this conscious belief about equity and this conscious belief about reforming the police or all these things. But then when it starts to actually change the status quo, which has benefited them immensely, their kind of lizard brain takes over. And suddenly it's back to the instinctual thinking, which is like this tiger / Police Accountability Commission is going to change everything. And I don't like that, you know? And I also feel like we need to brace ourselves for folks intentionally whipping up this kind of fervor around this. 80-something% of Portlanders don't agree on anything, but they agreed on this, you know, and that says a lot. And I think that there's going to be like an added effort to diminish that and convince other people in power, other people of the status quo, that they made a mistake and that they didn't actually want this. What they really wanted was things exactly how they were before, you know?
Again, that was Police Accountability Commission member Ajay Ameche. Just to bring everything full circle, compare that statement with the words of City Commissioner Rene Gonzalez, who we heard earlier, summing up the council's misgivings about a more powerful police oversight system, the system that the PAC is currently building.
We recognize that what was adopted in 2020 by voters is a very different city and, frankly, a very different voting base as exists in 2023. How do we adjust and assure fidelity, and how do we adjust and respect the legal structure in which we're operating? And so that is an open-ended, somewhat abstract question, but we deal with this every single day right now, and are trying to respond to some of the crisis we see on our streets in 2023 while we're dealing with the shadows of 2020.
And I'm going to leave it there for this month. As has been mentioned many times in this episode, the PAC now has a very fleshed out plan for the new board and oversight agency and how we're going to get there from here. I didn't really go into any details of the plan, and mostly just focused on the drama between the PAC and the City Council. In past episodes, especially our interviews with the PAC's various co-chairs, we have covered a lot of the details of the plan as they developed, and you can find those on our show page at kboo.fm. Their events can be found on their website, portland.gov/police-accountability. Again, that's portland.gov/police-accountability. Their website also has copious documents with details about their proposal if you just can't wait. And that's all, folks. Thank you for listening to Totality of Circumstances. We air every fourth Tuesday of the month at 5:30 p.m. right after the KBOO Evening News. You can find us at kboo.fm on our show page, and you can also email us at totalityradio@gmail.com. You're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio station. I'm Sam. Have a wonderful night.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
I'm Doug McVeigh, host of Free Culture Radio. Every month, we bring you 30 minutes of news and information about people who use drugs as we discuss topics like safe supply, safe consumption spaces, decriminalization, legalization, harm reduction, human rights, civil rights, and much more. Tune in and listen to Free Culture Radio on the third Wednesday of each month from 6:30 to 7 p.m. Pacific here on KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM.
Tune in to KBOO every fourth Friday of the month at 8 p.m. for Squirrel Snow, the show where we broadcast galactic awareness, animal awareness,